Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, see, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Put away sins and be imitators of God, because God is holy and he has not changed and will never change in that. He will always remain holy. Therefore, he calls us into sanctification to be like Jesus Christ. Not a counterfeit, but to be like him. To be like the Lord Jesus Christ. To be an imitator of God. Amen? Walking in the truth, walking in the light, and walking in love, amen, of Jesus Christ. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. See, there should be no hint of sexual immorality in us. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. Why? Because it's not of God either. That's all fruits of the flesh, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. And why? It's because, again, these are all fruits of the flesh, the fruits of Satan, the fruits of the Antichrist. They're everything against Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 5 speaks on the fruits of the flesh versus the fruits of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. Hence, his name, Holy Spirit. Amen? Galatians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and you shall not gratify, fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. Okay? You cannot say you are walking as a child of God in the Spirit if you're in the flesh, because they're contrary to one another. Okay, and Jesus says, by their fruits you will recognize them. Amen? That's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 20. So that you do not do the things that you wish, that the flesh desires. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And I can tell you that the Holy Spirit does not lead you to sin. Because God is holy, and he cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil. And that's also found in James chapter 1, starting in verse 13, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That's what sin does. It entices you. And once that sin has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Action. And once action is completed, therefore, it gives birth to death. Because that's what sin does. Why? The Holy Spirit says in the book of Romans, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So no one can say that God is tempting me, because God does not do that. He is holy. But it's our flesh, it's our own desires that causes us to sin. It's also by the temptations of Satan as well. You know, if we ponder on those thoughts long enough, and he plants, therefore it will give birth to action, and action gives birth to death. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Now remember what Jesus says, by their fruits you will recognize who are in Christ, who abides in Christ, and who doesn't. Who are counterfeit children of God, and who are the real deal. Okay? Who are false prophets, and who are not. Okay? And it says, by their fruits you will recognize them. Who the children of God are and who are not. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. In fact, all sin is idolatry. Because why? It's the worshiping of the flesh. Okay? sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the likes of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, those are the fruits of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who walk after the Spirit instead of the flesh, there is no law. Not only do we fulfill the law by love, okay, but we also fulfill it through holiness, holy living, according to God's righteous standards, according to His holy word. Hence, the Holy Bible. So I ask, what part of holy doesn't anyone understand here? There's no excuse for it. Going back to Ephesians chapter 5, that filthiness, or foolish talking, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. Why? Because these are all fruits of the flesh. For this ye know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, in short, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, right? To separate ourselves, to separate. Because God is calling us to separation, that's called sanctification. To set us apart from all filthiness, all worldly things, all sins. To set us apart from all unclean things, amen? That's found in, let's say, 2 Corinthians. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Starting in verse 17, it says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. This is what the Lord calls us to do, not just in the Old Testament, but also in the New, because this is the Holy Spirit quoting the Old Testament here. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord of hosts. What part of that don't we understand? Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. God the Father says here, is telling us, and I will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord of hosts. Didn't say said, which is past tense, which was only pertaining to the Old Testament, but it's pertaining to us today. Says the Lord, meaning he's still saying. Amen? Says the Lord Almighty. What part of sanctification don't we understand? What part of holiness do we not understand? There's no excuse. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light then. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How do we find out? By reading and studying His Word. We will be judged whether we studied the Word of God or not, whether we read the Word of God or not. We will still be judged accordingly. Because if we had, and we didn't walk according to His righteous standards, as the Holy Spirit enabled us to do so, He's going to judge us by asking us, why didn't you? Since you knew my holy righteous standards, why didn't you? Why didn't you try? Because you lacked faith? And if we hadn't read the Word of God, then he's going to ask the simple question, why didn't you read my Word? Why didn't you be not only hearers of my Word, but doers also? Why didn't you listen in church? Why didn't you apply what you've learned in church then? See, we have no excuse. And that's the point. So we have no excuse in finding out. And that's according to all humanity, heathens and sinners or Christians. It doesn't matter. We're all under this judgment. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We're to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And how do we do that? By reading and studying His Word. We have to know His Word in order to know what light and darkness is. Because if we go by our own understanding or by our own wisdom, we're going to miss it every time, because what we think is good isn't according to the Bible. Or what is acceptable isn't acceptable to God. Okay? And we have to know these things and then expose them. That's what we're called to do. Not just to evangelize and to minister the gospel, but to expose darkness in us, through us, and around us. Amen? For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Jesus is light, and he will expose darkness one way or another, either with us or without us, amen? Whether he's going to use us to do so or not, darkness will be exposed from the light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Meaning to get ready for the Lord's appearance in the clouds, amen? Getting ready for his kingdom to come as he takes us in the rapture. And you only take those who are ready, amen? Those who are spotless and blameless before the Lamb of God. Those who imitated Jesus Christ, amen? By living holy and righteously, amen? Putting off the flesh, putting off the fruits of the flesh, taking off the old man's garments and clothing ourselves with garments of righteousness, amen? Clothing ourselves with Christ Jesus, hallelujah. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And we know what the will of the Lord is, to live without spot, wrinkle, or any such blemish, hallelujah, and to love one another, and to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, amen, and repent from our sins, and turn to the living God. That is the will of God, to have a relationship with the Father. That's the will of the Lord. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Amen? To honor the Lord in our walk. That's the will of the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, meaning helping each other out. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Submit. Another word for submit is to obey or honor, to honor your husband. Wives, honor your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. Why? Why is the husband head of the wife? God created Adam first, and then out of the rib of Adam came Eve. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. The church is the wife, the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands in everything. To honor your husband. That is the commandment for wives, to honor their husband. Didn't say to love your husband, but here, husbands are commanded to love your wife. Amen? Meaning to provide, to be there. Amen? Because why? According to the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, wives are the weaker vessels. Now, it doesn't mean weaker as in physical or mental. No, but they're vulnerable when they're lonely. Amen? We see that as a reflection of Genesis chapter 3, where Eve was talking to Satan and vice versa. And where was Adam? Amen? The Bible doesn't mention Genesis chapter 3 that Adam was anywhere around. See, Eve was vulnerable. And that's what they mean. When women become lonely, they're vulnerable to temptations. Amen? Of all types and shadows. Amen? So we are to provide protection against all harm of our households. Amen. That's our job. That's our calling in family, to provide the needs for our families. Amen. For our children, our wives. Amen. That's our husbandly duties. Amen. Because it's commanded here to love your wife. Now, your wife is not commanded to love you, but to honor, to obey the husband. The husbands are commanded to love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with a washing of water by the word. Now, the Holy Spirit is using the analogy, physical commandments between husband and wife, to the church of who Christ is and who we are in Christ. We, the church, is the bride of Christ, amen? And Christ is our husband, the head of us all, amen? Hallelujah. That he, meaning the Lord Jesus, might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, with the washing of water by the word. That's how we are cleansed, by the washing of the water of the word. What did Jesus say to his disciples back in John chapter 15, I believe? He said, you are cleansed by the word. John chapter 15, starting in verse 2 and 3, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, meaning the Father, the gardener, takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Those who do not bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit are cut off from God. And those who bear some fruit, he prunes so it'll bear much more fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Because that is what God does. He's a gardener. Amen? You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So we see that the word of God does cleanse. Amen? That's one of the great reasons why we need to read the word of God consistently and daily. Amen? Hallelujah. For the Holy Spirit to convict us of our wrongs. You know, whether it be sins or attitude adjustments. Amen? But this is what the Holy Spirit uses, his word, to cleanse, to convict, to correct. Amen? To discipline, to chastise. He uses his word to do so. That he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. See, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing his church to. Holiness, without spot, wrinkle, or any such blemish. Amen? That is the will of the Lord. He's just now spelling it out. And it's not all the Lord's responsibility to bring his church into holiness. We have to submit to Christ, Jesus, the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel. We have the responsibility to be cleansed. Sin brings us into bondage and slavery. Can I get a witness? Can we all agree on that? That sin brings us into bondage and captivity as slaves to sin. Therefore, we're like in a prison cell. Our sin nature binds us. Amen? And we're shackled to a wall, right? In a prison cell. Amen? But when Jesus came in, he loosened those bonds. And he unlocked that door. And now it is up to us to take off those bonds and to walk out that prison door. But most of us don't. Most of us are waiting for the Lord to deliver us from sins and bondages and so forth. Our responsibility is to take off those loosened shackles that Jesus had loosened. Amen? And to walk out that door. Jesus will not do that for us. And that's the point. Amen? There's so much of the word where it says, repent, to confess. In order to be forgiven, you must confess your sins. Walk as children of light. Amen? He's telling us what to do. Doing is the reflection of being born again, right? The evidence of the Holy Spirit living in you is wanting to live holy and striving to live holy and righteously as the will of God is described here. Amen? That's the reflection. That's the proof of being born again, of the Holy Spirit living in you. Amen? So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you, in particular, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. See respect to honor her husband. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for us to realize we are given the Holy Spirit to enable us to walk according to his word, according to his standards of living. Amen? There's too many of us that are making excuses. I can't. Maybe you can't because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you haven't really truly repented. That's why you can't. Why? Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, he says, without me, you can do nothing. Amen? And that is true for those who do not have the Holy Spirit living in you. That truly means that you have not given up yourself to Christ if you do not have the Holy Spirit living in you. The Holy Spirit is promised to those who have truly turned to the living God. In John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, promising the Holy Spirit to those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who came into this world by the virgin birth, died for our sins, risen from the dead on the third day, and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. Amen? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it tells us the facts on the evidence of whether we have the Holy Spirit living in us or not. Amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, amen. Starting in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, the Holy Spirit is a spiritual gift. And besides the spiritual gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, who activates that? The Holy Spirit living in us. Amen. Hallelujah. So, in essence, it's talking about the Holy Spirit here. Because the Holy Spirit is the spiritual gift from God to us. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Sin, he's talking about. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. That's how we know whether we have the Holy Spirit living in us or not. If you can say with all your heart, full-heartedly, without doubt, confession is made to salvation, that Jesus is Lord, then you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Why? Because nobody can believe that. Nobody can confess that without the Holy Spirit living in a person. It's not head knowledge. It's all heart knowledge. Amen? Those who have the Holy Spirit, knowing that you do have the Holy Spirit, knowing that you're saved, reflecting back, when you heard the gospel, didn't you reject it? Didn't you reject him as God? Did you reject him as Messiah and Savior? Yes, because he didn't have the Holy Spirit living in you. But when you were illumined and you repented from your sins and turned to the living God and received reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ and salvation, therefore, he's given you the Holy Spirit to live in you. Why? To enable us to live holy and righteously before him according to his word, but also to proclaim, to preach the gospel that Jesus is the Messiah, to share it with others. Amen? Hallelujah. And to believe it and confess it for yourself. And being convinced that this word of God cannot lie, because that's the Holy Spirit's work. Amen? According to John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. He does not speak on his own, but by the authority of Jesus Christ. See, he leads and guides us into all truth. Continually, constantly. That's the works of the Holy Spirit.